إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار، وبعد. أيها الإخوة الكرام، indeed from time to time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises in and among this ummah those who will renew and rectify the affair of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from time to time and through the ages raises among mankind and among this ummah ulama, scholars who are known for their striving, known for their da'wah, known for their ilm, known for their fadl and their khayr. From those ulama, we had those who were well known for revitalizing the affair of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way of the Salaf of this ummah, even though they lived after them. From those great scholars, from those who were known as a faqih, an alim, a muhaddith, an usuli, a hafidh, a mujahid, a zahid, one who was well known and continues to be well known and his name mentioned in and among the ranks of the Muslimin, the great scholar and imam, Abu al-Abbas, Ahmad, Ibn Abdul Halim, Ibn Abdul Salam, Ibn Taymiyyah. Al-Imam, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, from the great scholars, ayuha al-Ikhwa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised in and among this ummah in the Middle Ages. Though he did not live in the era of the Salaf in the earliest period, but he lived in and among the Middle Era, the Middle Ages. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him and made him resemblant in many ways to the ulama of the Salaf of this ummah. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, the one who was referred to as Ibn Taymiyyah, though in actuality he was not Ibn Taymiyyah, yani that was not his father. In fact, it was not his grandfather. It was not even his great-great-grandfather. But it was not even his great-great-great-grandfather. Rather, it was the mother of his great-great-great-grandfather Muhammad. His great-great-great-grandfather. Since the family of Shaykh al-Islam was a family of ilm and a family of knowledge, his great-great-great-grandfather, his mother, was known as a wa'idha, was known as one that would give admonition and would teach, and was a woman of knowledge. And she was referred to as Taymiyyah. And because of her popularity, because of the fact that she was so well known, then those who came after Taymiyyah were referred to and attributed to her. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, who came from a family of knowledge. His father, Abdul Halim, was a faqih and a mujtahid and a man of knowledge and ilm and iman. Likewise, his grandfather, Majduddin ibn Taymiyyah, Abu al-Barakat, was from among the great scholars of this ummah, from among those who Shaykh al-Islam himself benefited from his knowledge, benefited from that which he left, as he benefited from his father directly. As far as the family then of Shaykh al-Islam, it was a family of knowledge. And so there is little wonder that this family would produce the likes of this great imam. And in that, brothers and sisters, is a waqfa for us, is something for us to stop and reflect upon. Look how, when the family is a family of knowledge, a family of ilm, mother, father, grandparents, grandmother, great-grandmother, when they are people of knowledge and ilm, the atmosphere within that household is an atmosphere of knowledge, an atmosphere wherein the children are raised upon ilm. And then from among them, we have those who Allah Azza wa Jal blesses to be from the ulama. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was born in the city of Harran, which was in eastern Turkey, on the borders of eastern Turkey, and was considered one of the Balkan regions. When he reached the age of 7, his family fled from Harran because of the attack of the Tatars, who were killing the Muslims in the region. And so they fled from Harran to Damascus. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, at the age of 7, took up residence alongside his family in Damascus, in Dimashq. And from that period, he took to ilm. Alongside being taught by his father, he took to memorizing the Quran and completed the Quran early. He then went on to learn and study the sciences of fiqh and usul al-fiqh. And he studied them with his father. He likewise studied them with some of the mashaykh in the region of Damascus. He then went on to study the Lugha al-Arabiya with his shaykh and his teacher, Ibn Abdul Qawi. And then went on to study in the Arabic language, the book of that great imam of the Lugha, Imam Sibawai, his book Al-Kitab. He studied it and he became a master in the book. And he recognized some 80 or so places that he considered and he mentioned were from the mistakes of Imam Sibawai, that he surpassed even the Imam himself in understanding and in knowledge of the Lugha al-Arabiya, in the sciences related to the Arabic language. He then went on to study the science of the tafsir of the Quran, and he became a master and distinguished in that science. Likewise, the surrounding uloom, the surrounding branches of knowledge. This great Imam, who was born in the year 661, by the time he was still a young boy, hadn't reached adolescence, he was distinguished in many of the sciences from the sciences of the deen. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was blessed, brothers and sisters, with quick memorization. Sur'atul Hifz. He would hear an affair, read it, memorize it quickly. And it was said concerning him that when he would memorize, that he would never forget anything that he memorized. And so those sciences that he studied, those sciences that he dedicated himself to, were sciences, brothers and sisters, that were at the tip or upon the tip of his tongue. He could easily access them. After he had memorized them, he never forgot them. And so those who spoke concerning him, they used to say that if you were to listen to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, then he would sit in his dars, and he would close his eyes, and he would recite, and he would mention that which is related to the knowledge concerning that topic. And it was though he was reciting from his memory somewhere in the region of two books when he would have one sitting. And then he would open his eyes when he was finished and smile. His students, they mentioned concerning him that if you were to sit with him and he spoke around the science, that you would believe that the only thing that he knows is this science, because he was so distinguished in the knowledge of the ilm. You would believe that that was his speciality, that was his specialism. And then when he spoke in another science, it was as though he was a specialist in that field. And that was the case with all of the sciences of the religion. And Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he continued in that path to the extent that he was established as a teacher in Jami' al-Amawi, the same masjid that his great father, Al-Imam Abdul Halim, the same masjid, the great masjid, the biggest masjid in Damascus, the same masjid his father used to teach in, he used to teach in it, and he was established as a mufti before he reached the age of 20. He was a mufti in Damascus before he reached the age of 20, would give fatawa, would give religious verdicts, would teach and would disseminate the knowledge of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was distinguished in the sciences of hadith to the extent that Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned concerning him, any hadith la ya'rifuhu Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah falaysa bihadith. Any hadith that was not known by Shaykh al-Islam is not a hadith. Man that was distinguished in every science from the sciences and in every ilm from the ulum. From his characteristics, it is said concerning him that he was white, light skinned, that he had dark black hair, and his hair fell to his earlobes. If you were to look at his face, then his face was one that was bright and radiant. And he was well known for that. He had very few grey hairs on his, whether his beard or his head. And in terms of his stature, then he was of medium height. And he had broad shoulders. And as it relates to his voice, then it was said that he had a strong and powerful voice. And so Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, on top of the description that the people of knowledge at his time gave for him, in terms of his physical appearance, in terms of his knowledge, he was likewise known and well known for his character. He was known, brothers and sisters, to be generous. He was known to be clement, patient, forbearing. His generosity became widespread to the extent that it was said concerning him that if you asked him for anything, if he had it and it was within his ability to give it to you, then he would give it to you. A man that was known for his zuhud, for his abstention from the world. A man that was well known for staying away from the pomp and glitter of the dunya. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah did not marry ayyuhal ikhwa until he passed away. A man that Allah Azza wa Jal raised and made an imam. It is sufficient, brothers and sisters, for you to know that from his talameen and from his students were the likes of al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim, the likes of al-Imam al-Dhahabi, the likes of al-Imam, the great Mufassir Ibn Kathir, the likes of al-Imam Ibn Abdul Hadi, and others from among the great distinguished students of al-Imam Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala. An imam, brothers and sisters, that was well known for his striving in establishing the sunnah. And thus, his position against those who opposed the sunnah was one that was well known and strong. If you were to read his books, and you were to come across his munaqashat, and across his debates with the people of innovation, you would find that they were plentiful. Either his refutations against them, or him debating with them. To the extent, brothers and sisters, that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he was fought against by the people of innovation at his time. And so he was known as a mujahid for his jihad against Ahlul Bid'ah, as he was known as a mujahid for his true jihad upon the battlefield, his participation in physical jihad against the Tatar, against the Tatars who had invaded the lands of the Muslimin, that he had encouraged the ruler to wage war against them and to fight against them physically. And so war was waged against them. And look at the fiqh of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. He didn't say, we're not going to wait for anybody. We're going to participate ourselves. We're going to fight ourselves because it is time for jihad. He didn't say enough of this foolishness and enough of this lack of courage and bravery. I'm going to fight. What was it that the fiqh of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah necessitated? Necessitated that he knew that the affair of jihad and warfare is one that is in the hands of the ruler. It does not return back to any individual from among the Muslimin, that he fights as he pleases, or he declares jihad and wages war as he pleases. Oh, because the rulers are not involved, the rulers are not concerned. We hear the ignorant one saying in our time. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he understood and he knew that this affair returned back to leadership. It returned back to those who had jurisdiction, those who are in charge of the Muslimin. And so he encouraged the ruler, and the ruler waged war against the Tatar. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, it was known that even on the battlefield, that he encouraged those who were present, since among them were those who were involved in innovation and who had fallen into something from shirk. And so he refused to allow those individuals to continue until he gave them exhortation and he gave them admonition. And he informed them of the fact that we will not be victorious as long as we are deficient in the affair of Tawheed and as long as we fall into shirk. And so he gave them admonition and declared that those who were upon shirk and upon kufr and innovation, that they should leave that. He informed them and educated them concerning that. And they, no doubt, conformed to the da'wah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and accepted his da'wah and recognized that it was the truth and that it was the haqq. And thereafter, we saw the victory of the Muslimun against them. Shaykh al-Islam, this alim, this mujahid, this zahid, this muhaddith, this hafiz, the one that Allah Azza wa Jal raised in the latter generations and blessed him to the extent that we continue to mention his name up until this era. We continue to study his books. We continue to study his writings. And we continue to benefit from his clarifications in the affairs of the deen of Allah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Bismillah walhamdulillah. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والى وبعد. As we mentioned, up until this very day, we continue to benefit from his writings and from his works. This great Imam, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Brothers and sisters, to the extent that we don't even realize that some of the books that we read and some of the writings of Ahlul Ilm were based in the writings of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. The works of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. The bulk of them were based around the teachings and the writings of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. The explanation of Al-Aqeedah al-Tahawiyyah of the great Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi. That Ibn Abi al-Izz in his explanation, he quotes word for word in places from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, but because of his bi'ah and his region, the region that he was in, and him being surrounded by those who wage war against the da'wah of Ahl al-Sunnah, from among those who are upon the madhab al-Hanafi, he was unable to mention that this was a quotation from Shaykh al-Islam. But his book and his explanation, word for word in places, was taken from the writings of Shaykh al-Islam. Much of that which we read, and that which was written by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, we will read him saying, and our teacher, Shaykhuna, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, used to say, much of that which comes from him, and that which was present in his writings, he benefited from his teacher and his shaykh, to the extent that he wrote a book concerning the writings and the authorships of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and he enumerated 341 works of Shaykh al-Islam, and he did not write all of them. It is oftentimes mentioned that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was from those true scholars who was in prison. And this is oftentimes mentioned by those who have an orientation toward takfir and jihad. That is, of course, the jihad that is not legislated. And they say that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was just like the other true scholars who are in prison, because they say and they claim that the true scholars are in jail. The true scholars are in prison. And that is because of the fact that those who they claim and refer to as true scholars are individuals who are upon the methodology and the madhab of the Khawarij. Those who exited the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the opinion of some of the scholars, based upon the statement of the Messenger of Allah, يَمْرُكُونَ مِنَ الدِّينِ, that they go in and out of the religion as an arrow goes through its gate. And so they are imprisoned because of their warped ideas, not because of the fact that they spoke haq and truth. Imprisoned because of the innovation that they are upon, not because of the fact that they spoke that which the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim were upon. When we look then at Shaykh al-Islam, we see from his biographies that he was in prison. Brothers and sisters, we should know and we should analyze why and for what reason was Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in prison. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah had a long reputation of debating with the people of Sufiyyah who were present at his time. They hated him. And they referred to him as an innovator and a heretic. And so Shaykh al-Islam was asked on a number of occasions concerning a number of issues. From them, that which is related to the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal. From them, yani from those issues, that which is related to worshipping the Ashab al-Qubur and worshipping those who are in the graves, from those who are claimed to be saints. And of course, in all of these issues, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he answered in accordance with that which the Salaf of this Ummah were upon, that those actions are impermissible. And That as it relates to the sifat of Allah, nasif Allah, bima wasafa bihi nafsuhu, wa bima wasafa bihi nafsuhu, wa bima wasafa bihi rasuluhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we describe Allah with that which He describes Himself, and that which His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, described Him with. And so those individuals were displeased with these fatawa of Shaykh al-Islam, and they complained, and they complained, and they complained to the ruler. And so the ruler had Shaykh al-Islam in Mauritania in prison because of folk accusations that were made by the people of Innovation against him. And he remained in prison in Damascus. While he was in prison, he was imprisoned alongside his brother Abdul Rahman. Him and his brother Abdul Rahman, they remained in prison. And he mentioned concerning, yani that is his brother, mentioned concerning him that he would give the other inmates da'wah. Many of them either left Innovation that they were upon, or began to practice after not practicing the deen. To the extent that when they left prison, when they exited, they would return and visit Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and he would teach them while in jail. And that continued until Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah became sick. When he fell ill, the illness of Shaykh al-Islam was hidden from many. Few were acquainted and were aware of the fact that he was actually sick while in jail. And slowly but surely, his illness, it deteriorated, and his health deteriorated because of his illness. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he passed away on account and due to the illness that he suffered while in jail. His brother Abdul Rahman mentioned concerning that period. He said, I and Shaykh al-Islam, we completed the Quran on 80 separate occasions while in prison. He said, but and then when Shaykh al-Islam reached the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ فِي مَقْعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. That indeed the muttaqeen, indeed the righteous, are فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ, are in gardens with rivers. The statement of Allah, fi maq'adi sidqin, upon chairs, upon seats of truth, with a most noble king, or in the presence of a most noble king, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said he recited those two verses and then he passed away. This great imam, this allama, that has left behind him these great athar, ilmiyah, these great treasures, and this great heritage of knowledge. His contemporaries, brothers and sisters, and we'll round up with this statement of al-imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam al-Dhahabi, he mentioned, قَدْ قَرَأْتُ بِخَطِّ شَيْخِنَا الْعَلَّامَ كَمَالُ الدِّينِ بْنِ زَمْلَكَانِي مَا كَتَبَهُ سَنَةَ بِضْعٍ وَتِسْعِينَ تَحْتَ إِسْمِ ابْنِ تَيْمِيَّةِ كَانَ إِذَا سُئِلَ عَنْ فَنٍ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ ظَلَّ الرَّائِي وَالسَّامِعِ أَوْ ظَنَّ الرَّائِي وَالسَّامِعِ أَنَّهُ لَا يَعْرِفُ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ الْفَنِّ وَحَكَمَ أَنَّ أَحَدًا لَا يَعْرِفُهُ مِثْلَهُ. He said that indeed if Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was asked concerning any knowledge, that the one who would see him and listen would believe that that was his specialism, his area of speciality. and that he did not know, he couldn't possibly know anything else because of the nature in which he was specializing in that field. Concerning him, Al-Imam Al-Mizzi mentioned one of his great students, the author of Tahdhib al-Kamal, this great compendium in the narrators of hadith within the Kutub al-Sitta, the six canonical works of hadith. Imam Mizzi, he mentioned, مَا رَأَيْتُ مِثْلَهُ وَلَا رَآهُ وَمِثْلَ نَفْسِي. He said, I have not seen the like of him, and he has not seen the like of himself. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا وإياكم لما يحبه ويرضاه وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله